As we have seen in our studies of Philippians, the church at Philippi was particularly close and dear to the Apostle Paul. One of the reasons for this was that they had been so helpful to him in his ministry, giving money and support emotionally, as well as they had remained faithful to the gospel. They had stayed steadfast in the face of persecution and opposition to the truth of God's word. And as Paul languished in a Roman prison, we believe about 2 years, his thoughts and his prayers turned to this faithful church. And his heart yearned to encourage them and to help them to grow in faith and obedience in the Lord. But Paul had heard some reports, and these reports were disturbing because in spite of their faithfulness and their love for him and the Lord, there were reports of division and strife within the church. And so he writes them to encourage them to unity and to like-mindedness. But also, he's laying plans to send to them his most trusted aide, a man by the name of Timothy, to go and to firsthand view what's going on and report back to him on their spiritual state. And who is this Timothy? What kind of man was this who Paul trusted to represent him in Philippi? And in case they'd forgotten, because they knew him, Timothy was not an unknown individual to them. Paul reminds them, however, of some of the things about Timothy that commended him to them. Timothy seems to have been one of Paul's earliest converts to Christ, probably as a result of his preaching in Lystra on his first missionary journey. He writes to Timothy, actually, and this would be 2 Timothy 1:5, and he says this: "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also." So his mother and his grandmother were believers. Now, you understand this was, if you will, an Old Testament faith. It was not a full-blown Christian faith that they had. They were believers according to the Old Testament scriptures and knew the scriptures and knew the God of the scriptures. But they did not yet know Christ. And his mother's faith we also see in Timothy's name. Timothy means precious to God. Well, on Paul's second missionary journey, he again stops in Lystra. And Timothy joined with him at that point and continued on with him for the rest of that journey and continued to minister with Paul and under Paul's authority in various ways. Now, in our text in Philippians, Paul mentions two traits that Timothy had that commended him to them. Timothy, Paul says, was selfless and he was loyal. It shouldn't surprise us that Paul brings up Timothy at this point. It fits right in with the context. He's mentioned the need to be like-minded for the Philippians. That is, they need to think alike. Think as one in regards to Christ. They need to be humble-minded. They need to be loving. And then Paul goes on, as we've seen, and shows how Christ is the perfect example of this kind of thinking. Christ, who humbled himself, left glory, and became a man, took on humanity, and became a servant, even to dying upon the cross for his people. And Paul encourages the Philippians to reflect Christ in their attitudes and their thinking, Now Paul introduces Timothy, whom he plans to send to them, and characterizes him, that is Timothy, as being just this kind of Christian. Timothy reflects in his life, in his thinking, this selfless loyalty of Christ. So Paul is planning to send this man, Timothy, to evaluate things in Philippi and probably offer some counseling, some rebuke, some instruction in what they should be doing in areas where they are not. And then he wants him to come back and report to Paul, who, by the way, they did not have smartphones and texting and such communications as we have today. So they relied on mail. They relied on letters sent by ships and sailing vessels that were delayed depending on the wind and so on. In short, communications were not very good back then like they are today. And so Paul wants this firsthand report from Timothy, whom he trusts and has confidence in, as to what their true situation is. And speaking of Timothy, he contrasts him markedly, sharply, with others who seek their own, he says, verse 21, not the things that are in Christ. Paul says everyone's looking out for themselves. By the way, this would be an example of Paul using the word all and not meaning everyone without exception. He uses all in kind of this generic sense of most people. Everyone, it seems, is looking out for themselves. Have you ever talked to someone and all they did was tell you about themselves? Their problems, their achievements. Sometimes you meet someone for the first time and they dump all of this on you about their life and their problems and their needs. You know, technology may change. Communication might improve. But people stay the same. And still today, just like then, most people around us are wrapped up in their own lives, their own problems, their own issues. But Paul says Timothy is not like that. He follows the example of Christ. He has a servant's heart. He takes a genuine interest in the welfare of others and their needs and their concerns. He puts others before himself. Timothy could have stayed in the comfort of his home in Lystra. He could have pursued his own financial success, his own interests, a family of his own. But like Paul, he left it all. He left his family, his relatives, his home to serve Christ and the church. And Timothy traveled with Paul not only to Philippi, but to Thessalonica and Berea and Corinth and Ephesus. And apparently stayed in Ephesus for a while and served as their pastor. He helped Paul in writing at least 5 of Paul's letters. Timothy participated in and helped, perhaps actually was the penman in writing them. And he endured the hardships of travel, persecution that Paul endured. And they became close. So close that Paul even speaks of Timothy as his son in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you. Another example of Paul using Timothy as an emissary, as a means of communication both ways. And then he goes on, I'm sending Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So it's not surprising that Paul commends Timothy to the Philippians. He's one who Paul says is like-minded with himself. He can remind you of my ways. Now, this word like-minded in verse 20 might cause a bell to go off in your mind. Well, that's the word he used back in verse 2. He says of the Philippians, you are to be like-minded. The thing is, they're not the same word. In verse 2, the word like-minded is a word that means like understanding. It means to think alike. The word that he uses in verse 20 is different, and it's, by the way, only used here in the New Testament. It means to be like-souled. So a part of the word is the word psyche, the Greek word for soul. It means to be like-hearted. Timothy genuinely, sincerely cared for the believers in Philippi. It wasn't something that was pretended. It wasn't an act that Timothy put on. It was real. Timothy was glad to serve Christ, his church, and even the Philippians. And in this, Timothy was exactly what Paul admonishes the Philippians to be. Not out for himself, not wrapped up in his own world, but selflessly serving others. And Paul illustrates Timothy's heart from his personal experience. He says, but you know his proven character, because he'd been there with him. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Timothy was loyal to Paul. He put his home and his family to the side to be an assistant to Paul. He stuck with Paul even through the hard times and adversity and persecution. So Paul writes to him in 2 Timothy 3:10, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And Timothy was with Paul through most of these adventures. Tough travel, rough seas, persecution, prison, beatings. Timothy remained with Paul and served him as a son. And he carried out some difficult and ticklish assignments for Paul as well. And he did this with no grumbling or complaining, as we saw earlier in the text. Happy, happy to serve the Lord and to serve Paul. My guess is that Paul could be difficult. Paul was one who was single-minded. He had no hesitation to publicly face off against the Apostle Peter. And Timothy always was the assistant. He always was second man, second chair. He was always taking direction from the Apostle Paul. But Timothy understood that serving Paul was serving the Lord. And that you cannot serve the Lord while being disloyal to his servants and to his church. Loyalty is a natural outgrowth of love. If you love the Lord, you will be loyal to the Lord. You will loyally serve the Lord. If you love others as God has commanded you to do, you will remain loyal to them, committed to them. A picture of this loyalty is seen in your membership vows. You promise to participate faithfully in the church's worship and service, to submit in the Lord to its government, and to heed its discipline. Faithful in attendance, faithful in working and serving the church, faithful in obedience, submission to the church's leadership. Loyalty is different than friendship. David was a friend of Jonathan. And you almost hesitate to say this in this day and age. The scripture says that David loved Jonathan. They were close friends, committed to one another. But at the same time, David was an enemy of Jonathan's father, King Saul. King Saul repeatedly tried to kill David. And yet what we see in the account of David and his relationship to Jonathan and to King Saul was that he was loyal always to both. Loyalty does not mean that you always agree, but that even though you disagree, you are committed to one another. The Philippians were struggling in some areas. They were struggling with selfishness and some division. Timothy, on the other hand, was selfless and loyal to others, to the Lord, to Paul, and even to the Philippians. You cannot be loyal to the Lord without being loyal to his people. You cannot be loyal to the Lord, and you cannot serve him without being loyal to those for whom he died. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, his church, his community. The scriptures emphasize community. The scriptures emphasize our interconnectedness as believers. Contrary to the thinking of some Christians and particularly the secular world that surrounds us, the scripture promotes community and interconnectedness rather than independence and autonomy, whether it's as churches or whether it's as individuals. Timothy exhibited the characteristics of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. He had a servant's heart and he had a loyal spirit to Christ, to his church, and to brothers and sisters in Christ. So what was it that made Timothy this kind of man? Two important influences helped mold Timothy that Paul mentions. First, God used his family. We read again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to him, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." God began working in Timothy from the time he was an infant. And God used his mother and his grandmother. These godly women faithfully taught Timothy the scriptures. And they did so from infancy. Many things compete for the time and the energy of our children, as well as ourselves. Many are necessary things, like school studies or chores, work that needs to be done around the house. But other things are not so necessary. Sometimes they are even destructive. And as parents, we need to be careful about things like social media and TV and video games and even sports. Parents need to be careful that in the midst of all of the activity of life, the things of God are not forgotten, ignored, or put on the shelf. We need to be careful as parents that the good, and sometimes the not so good, do not push out the best things, the eternal things, the things of God. The importance of teaching our children the scriptures is repeatedly emphasized in the Bible. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 71:1, or 17 rather, and to this day, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen to what the angel Gabriel told Zacharias about his son John. Luke 1, verse 15. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. That is, he's going to be a Nazarite. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. God worked in John the Baptist from birth. At birth, he was set apart unto the Lord, consecrated to God. The media, in all its forms, is advocating a secular, unbiblical worldview. That is a theology of life, a view of life. And it is doing so upon all of us. It is doing so especially upon our children. And it's doing so constantly. The educational establishment reinforces it in our children, and does so many hours out of the day. How can a Christian parent imagine that an hour or two a week in church is enough to counteract that influence? An influence that for many even intrudes into the worship service. If parents do not actively work to teach their children a biblical way of thinking, biblical worldview, specifically a reformed worldview that is different than the evangelical worldview, of the importance of walking with God, of submitting to his will, the world will and does influence it and teach our children. And you will not be happy with the results. Paul traces the godly character of Timothy back to the early influence of his mother and his grandmother. The character of your children will largely be determined by the extent of the training that they receive from you. As you teach them the Bible stories of men and women of faith, the life and teachings of Christ and his work upon the cross, as you teach them how to think and to live as a Christian in a world that is hostile to a Christian worldview, are you helping your children in memorizing scripture, in memorizing the catechism, in learning a biblical worldview? Are you worshiping together with your children as a family, as a daily practice? If your children do not see you valuing the things of God, they do not see you worshiping in the home as well as in church, if they do not see you pursuing the ordinary means of grace, that is the preaching of God's word and the sacraments, they will not grow up to value them. Timothy grew up in a pagan, ungodly world, not all that different from our own. His father was a Greek and he was an unbeliever. But through the teaching of his mother and of his grandmother, their examples and their influence, Timothy grew to love the Lord and his word and was prepared to be the kind of man that God could use and Timothy could commend as an example of Jesus Christ himself. There is not a career or a bank account that is more important than your spiritual legacy in your children. God also used as an influence in Timothy's life friends, particularly Paul. So we read in 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things that you have heard from me," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Your sphere of influence can be much larger, and actually is much larger than your family. One reason Timothy developed into a man that God could use, who had this Christ-like character, was that Paul took the time to train him and to teach him, to disciple him in the things of God. You may not be a parent. You may not have young children in your home. But you can be a friend. You can be a mentor. You can be used of God to mold the character and the faith of others. You can be a help to others who are younger in the Lord. You can teach them and encourage them and counsel them that they might develop like Timothy into true disciples of Jesus Christ. So Timothy had family, and he had friends that influenced him, balancing the pagan influence that was all around him. And the result was that Timothy became a genuine, godly man. A man who had an effective ministry serving the Lord and his church. As Paul's trusted lieutenant, Timothy was an effective pastor, an effective teacher of the word, even suffering himself imprisonment for Christ. He was a man that God used in countless ways to touch the lives of others and to help build Christ's kingdom. So, in a sense, we're talking about a continuous circle. Every believer, generation after generation, is to be both a teacher and a learner, a leader and a follower. As a Christian, you should constantly be learning more of Christ, even as you're teaching others. You should be a Christian who has a learner's spirit and a teachable heart, a thirst for more understanding. As an older Christian with many years in the ministry, I'm still constantly studying and reading and learning. Sometimes the things I learn that I don't know surprise me, and would have to confess sometimes dismay me. We've never arrived at full and perfect knowledge. So Christian disciples are always hungry to learn more, to grow, to understand things about God and God himself more perfectly and more fully. But the other side of this is you cannot allow your ignorance to keep you from doing what you need to do in following Christ and in teaching others. God in his grace uses you, even your stammering ignorance, your imperfect understanding. God uses that to bring others the gospel, to teach and encourage others, to counsel others. God uses you even in your weakness. I might say sometimes even because of your weakness. Because the power is always of God. It's never of us. So God can use your ignorant statements, your weak statements, to help others and to be an encouragement to others. Never let your ignorance keep you from opening your mouth in the service of the Lord. Timothy wasn't perfect. He wasn't without sin. He wasn't without failure. But his life and his attitude and his service, his thinking, reflected the mind of Christ. And so he served and he laid down his life for others. And God still is using Timothy, isn't he? He's using him as an example for us. How you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are to live selflessly for him, loyal to Christ and his church and believers, and faithful to your Lord, even as you are an example yourself to your children, to your co-workers and family members who look to you for spiritual leadership, for understanding, for guidance, for counsel. Oh, may the Lord give you the grace and the faith to be a faithful, loyal disciple of Jesus Christ, bringing glory to our glorious Savior.